Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Gifts of the Spirit, Part 2. We are doing follow-up messages to our verse-by-verse study to the book of Ephesians. Things that are pertinent to the church age. Things that were touched upon in the book of Ephesians, but I am now hoping to shed more light as we open up more scripture and spend a little more time on select subjects from the book of Ephesians. We have studied, obviously, the work of the Holy Spirit, and it changed greatly from the time of the law. Now, the Spirit seals every believer, dwells in every believer, guides every believer, enlightens every believer in truth, if they'll let Him. And every believer has the responsibility to not grieve the Spirit, not quench the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, and walk in the Spirit. This is so important. The Old Testament, the Spirit came and went. Do you realize God Almighty takes up residence in you? I can't comprehend that. I have to accept it. He literally indwells as the Holy Spirit in every believer. I cannot explain that. I accept it. And when we truly respond to the Holy Spirit and apply ourselves to spirituality, we will therefore exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. This is not the fruit of a person. This is the fruit of divine, supernatural happening. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And remember, we just came out of the time of the law into the time of the church age. So as he's telling people, it's changed, but principles are still the same. There's no law against what the church is doing. Application is different. We don't have all the rules and the regulations, but holiness is holiness. God's standards don't change. Wouldn't the world be a better place if everybody yielded to the Spirit? Therefore, what's the real answer to this world's problems? Spirituality. And yet they don't want to hear that. Well, the Holy Spirit also gives gifts to every believer for ministry, and that's the essence of what we're doing. We're having a brief review here. We'll get on to some other things. Every believer is given a gift or gifts. I believe they have more than one. People are born with natural talents, but natural talents are not spiritual gifts. I want you to understand the difference between the two. Unsaved people have natural talent. There are a lot of unsaved people that can play musical instruments very well. They can sing well. They can do whatever skill well, far better than many people will ever do. But that is not a spiritual gift. Now, please understand this also. Anything we get in this life came from God. The very life you have, we came into this world by God's design and will come out by God's design, and right? So the sheer ability that we can walk, talk, think, some run faster than others, some do other things better than others, yes, that did come from God through the natural process of birth. But that is not to be interpreted as a spiritual gift, as the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts. What is to happen is, if someone has been given the ability, the natural ability at birth, a proclivity to music, then you will get a spiritual gift and you can use that music ability, now divinely blessed by the Holy Spirit. Got it? So the sheer virtue that somebody can do something musically, there's a lot of people that use their talents incorrectly. They need to get saved and then let the ministry of the Holy Spirit work through them and use those natural talents with the gifts of the Spirit. So natural talents are natural. They're inherited from parents at birth. They're possessed by the saved and the unsaved. But spiritual gifts are supernatural, God-given, at the time of salvation, and they are possessed only by the saved. So understand the difference between the two. How do you discover your spiritual gifts? One of the best ways, seriously, other people will tell you. Other people will notice it. Yes, you'll notice it too, but you may get a little frustrated sometimes working with children, and somebody's going to start to say, "Don't you understand you have the ministry for children?" "I do." "Yeah, keep working at it." Or whatever it may be, you start to get busy, other people will notice, because it's interesting, why do we have spiritual gifts? For the benefit of others. So who do you think is going to notice it? Now, you're allowed also to notice your spiritual gifts, because then you can focus on them and really ask God to bless and help you to do this. We develop them by use. Exercise them. We saw this last time, 2 Timothy. Paul wrote to Timothy, and he told him, a pastor, he said, study to show thyself approved. Well, if you're a pastor and you have the gift, why do you have to study? Because they need to be developed and worked. Timothy was told, stir up the gift that is in you. It's possible to neglect your gift and let it go into no benefit to anybody. You need to stir it up. And spiritual gifts need to be exercised in love. And I've shared this before. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14, so 12, 13, 14 talks about spiritual gifts. And in the middle, Paul writes what we call the love chapter. If I don't have love, I'm nothing. The importance of love. And this is how spiritual gifts must be exercised. Use them and watch God bless. And by the way, if somebody else isn't noticing your talent and your gift, maybe it's not a gift. Maybe it's something you wish you had and don't have. And this was one of the things they had going on at Corinth. They were arguing over who had what gift. Don't do that. You accept the gift/gifts that the Holy Spirit gives you and use those, because therein is the purpose from God for you. Use it wisely to His glory and honor. Do something. Let us look tonight, gifts of the Spirit and miracles. We're going to be looking at part two here, but I want to get into gifts of the Spirit and miracles, because miracles are part of spiritual gifts. Now, gifts can be considered in three broad categories: speaking gifts, ministering gifts, and sign gifts. And you can maybe break that down other ways, but a good way to look at it. All of these are miracles of God. Anything we do, right? All of this world is a miracle. The whole idea that the world stays in place is a miracle. The whole idea that protons don't collapse into the electron, the middle of the atom, is a miracle. It's God. So the miracles are occurring all around us all the time. That the planets stay in place and on and on and on, and it all works together. So God is doing miracles all the time, but as we consider spiritual gifts, let us remember that miracle sign gifts, there were only four times in the Bible that God allowed these. Now, I know I've covered this before, but I do want you to understand this. The four times are Moses and Aaron. Back in Egypt, when Moses came out of the wilderness 40 years and let my people go, and he was able to do miracles, him and Aaron. Then there are no more miracles done by mankind till Elijah and Elisha. After they were off the scene, then Christ and the apostles are the next time that we see mankind giving the power to do these dynamic miracles. And the fourth time are the two witnesses in the tribulation. In each case, and especially as we talk about sign gifts in the church age, this is where much confusion comes in, we have to realize every time God allowed man to do a miracle, what was the point? To verify the message. But how many times do we think that the gift and the sign is more exciting than the message? We're not supposed to find the sign more exciting than the message. Take a look at it, Mark 16:20, and they, the apostles, went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the words with signs following. You look at it, Moses comes out of the wilderness, stands in front of Pharaoh and says, God says, let my people go. Yeah, right. No, watch. The Nile's going to turn to blood. Maybe there's something to this guy. Likewise with Elijah, it's not going to rain till I say so. 3.5 years, it was a drought. We have Elisha doing the miracles. Christ and the apostles doing miracles, and especially at the time of transition from the law to the church, explaining, this is a church. You now have a Holy Spirit in you. Yeah, right. No, watch, I can heal. Watch, I can speak in tongues. Confirming the words. This is the whole point of it. God isn't doing signs and wonders just for a circus show. Take a look at Hebrews 2:3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us? How was it confirmed? Verse 4, God also bearing them witnesses, bearing the witness of those people and their words, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles. Guess what? Gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are not for a circus show to draw a crowd. This Sunday night, we are having so-and-so here. Bring the crowd. If I had the ability to heal, I would go over to the Cape Coral Hospital, and believe me, they would contact the news media. They would be there. This guy has just cleaned out the first floor. Hurry up before it's empty. But I don't have that. Why? Because I have the Bible today. There is one exception to this in the Bible. Joshua 10, verse 12. Then spake Joshua unto the Lord, when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel. This is a pretty bold statement. Everybody watching? Several million Jews there. I'm putting this all on the line, folks. Before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. Guess what? Verse 13, and the sun stood still and the moon stayed. Whew, thank you, Lord. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. Here, verse 14, but notice this is an exception. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. Now he answers prayer. But as far as doing a dynamic miracle like that, God says there was one exception. One. And he tells us it's an exception. There's not going to be another day like it. Remember, David is the only man in the Bible called the man after God's own heart. Acts 13:22, in the middle of the verse, we read it, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. And if you read there in 2 Samuel 9:2, the story of Mephibosheth, the grandson of Saul, crippled of his feet, and he was brought to King David's house, and King David said, I want to bless him, and he did bless him with food and provisions, and he cared for him. But he didn't heal him. Why? The only man in the Bible called a man after God's own heart, could he not heal? Because God was not working that way at that time. You don't need your words confirmed. He did not have a special message that was earth-shattering and so unbelievable that he had to confirm it with miracles. So it is. There's four times that miracles are done by man. But what about Samson? Read the story of Samson. When did he have his strength? When the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Please read Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. We have the same strength as Samson to do what God wants us to do. So we don't have to be doing miracles. Well, let's move on here. What are the spiritual gifts? I want you to notice this. Every believer has, to some degree or another, the ability to do most of these gifts. Well, I don't have the gift, so therefore I can't do it. Well, wait a minute. Now let me explain what I mean. Every believer has been told to go ye therefore into the world and preach the gospel. You all have the ability to hand out a heaven tract and share the gospel and the simple plan of salvation, even though you don't have the gift of prophecy. Got it? You may not have the gift of being an evangelist. So to a degree, every believer, I don't have the gift of helps, so therefore I can't help you. No, to a degree, you do have the ability to help. So in one sense, we all could be illuminated. Take a look on the back of your verse sheet there. I've listed five scriptures that cover spiritual gifts. That kind of puts them into perspective there. And we're going to go over that list and you have the verses on the other side where they came from. So you will notice in different passages, gifts are overlapping, or they may have a little bit different name, or they're not mentioned in some, but they're mentioned in others. So we put together this list, and we have a fairly complete listing, and there is debate. Are these all of the spiritual gifts? I'm not going to sit here and argue that. Let's just use them to the glory of God. How's that sound? You know, there's some things I just don't think are worth an argument. But I know this, God has given us enough for our understanding. Romans chapter 12, verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Got it? We don't all have the same gifts and abilities, praise God, because we'd be an awful strange being if we all did the same thing. But God has given diversity so that we can function well. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches, on teaching. Tend to your gift, or gifts. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do with simplicity. I have never heard anybody yet arguing who is the best giver. You can read in Corinthians where they argue about the gift of tongues and different things, but I don't see anywhere they're arguing that I give more than you do. That'd be an interesting problem, wouldn't it? Let us just keep going here. He that exhorteth with exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Prophecy, preaching, or foretelling the future. The Old Testament prophets, or there were some that could actually fulfill. John had visions of what the future was. Paul had visions of what the future was. But prophecy can also mean opening up the Word of God as it stands and explaining it to other people. Foretelling. Ministry. Practical service. Very broad there. Can you therefore not take your natural talents and bring it into ministry? Exhorteth. This complements teaching. It's the ability to actually open up and encourage people in spiritual truth. Do you ever have somebody that just naturally encourages you? They light up a room when they walk in. Someone that can exhort. They have the ability to take somebody who's discouraged and stand by their side and say, come on. And they can help you get out of the doldrums. Giving. Giving means giving generously beyond the norm. And it's a gift within them. It bubbles within them. I just need to give. And it doesn't always mean necessarily in the offering plate. It could be at your time. It could be helping somebody you know is going through a special need. Maybe they need you a special visit or something. Giving, giving of yourself, giving of your resources. The gift of ruling. Church leadership. Remember, all these spiritual gifts are for the use in the church. And the gift of mercy. These are all listed there in your verse in Romans 12:6. Let's read 1 Corinthians 12:8. For to one is given by the Spirit a word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit is coordinating this ministry with the distribution of gifts and all ministries. Verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Let's go down this list. Wisdom. Along the order of truly understanding and application of the Scriptures. Truly knows how to make decisions based upon spiritual truth. A special gift. Knowledge. Insights to biblical understanding. Faith. Everybody has the ability to have faith. The idea that you get out and get in your car every day, you have faith that you're not going to get killed. The idea that you're sitting in that chair means that chair isn't going to fall down. You have faith. But have the gift of faith is this person, it's kind of like, you know what? Your prayer life and your faith is something to behold. It seems like you have a hotline to God. And it's a faith beyond the norm. And these are key people that God places that they can be an encouragement to all of us. Don't you have any faith? Come on, let's pray about it. It'll be okay. Healing, the sign gift of healing. Miracles. I believe this is in general. Stopping rain. Providing food. Different kinds of miracles. Discerning of spirits. We all ought to have our ears opened. But some people have an ability to truly have it. Wait a minute. That guy's not for real. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it, but there's something wrong with this guy. Or, no, I really believe he's a diamond in the rough. Let's work with him. Or something like that. Some people have a God-given spiritual gift to discern the spirit. Tongues, the ability to speak a foreign language with no training. Interpretation, somebody to interpret tongues. A gift, not a natural understanding, a divine gift. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles. Now notice, he's putting in place the church, the offices and the gifts of the church. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? The obvious answer is no. Are all prophets? The obvious answer is no. Are all teachers? The obvious answer is no. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The answer is no. That's why we have to work together. That's why unity is so important. The apostles means, obviously, the office of an apostle. Prophets, an inspired speaker in this passage. Teachers, the ability to teach someone else. It's one thing to be able to know a subject. There are some people that can do whatever it is, but they can't teach you how to do it. Teaching within itself is a gift. Just because this person can do it doesn't mean they can help you do it. It's a gift in itself. Helps. Compassion for others. Relief. Governments, church leadership, pilotage, directorship in the church. These are actual gifts that are given. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. We see repetition here. We see in this time included an evangelist. This is someone that has the absolute ability to preach the fundamental gospel of grace, and people just respond to it. It is a gift. When that guy gives a gospel message, I mean, the room just lights up. Evangelists, they can go out and really spark an enthusiasm in people. And pastor means actually a shepherd. Well, we're going to continue this on in our next study, but I want to bring this to your attention as you think about the chart. Take a look at the chart again and think about the verses that we read. I want you to pay attention on that list as you scan it. There's no natural talent listed. Singing is not there. Does that mean we're faulting singing? Of course not. But if you have that natural ability, then use it. Probably the Holy Spirit will give you the gift of helps, or exhorting to encourage, or ministering. So it is, we do have natural abilities. The sheer virtue that we get up and walk and come to church is a natural ability that we need to use for the Lord. Can you help little kids go down the hall to the playground? You're using natural abilities, but under the guidance and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit blesses when we take what we have been born with, and then we're spiritually born with these divine gifts. And that is how the Holy Spirit is going to lead. He is in us, dwelling within us. He wants us to be filled. And that is a choice we make. Yes, Lord, I want to be yielding to the Spirit. What do you want me to do? And the Spirit will illuminate you. Where do you think these opportunities or sometimes thoughts come from? And the Holy Spirit is going to guide you in your gifts. So you pay attention to your gifts, you pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is doing, and your life will become very full of purpose, and you're going to watch it be profitable. Even sometimes when we don't think it's profitable, like Paul. Do you think he had some spiritual gifts? And he was put in a Roman prison. Lord God, could I not be better used with my spiritual gifts thus and thus and thus? But then you yield to the Spirit, and the Spirit says, just be still. God knows what he is doing. And right now, no, you may not understand. But look for the blessings and not for the frustration. And Lord, why am I here? Be thankful because God truly does want to work through you, through your natural abilities, bolstered and empowered by the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.